It's time for Calling All Sports with Mark Ovenden and Mike Henriksen. Calling All Sports is brought to you by Arby's, Lewis Drug, Great Life Golf and Fitness, Midco Sportsnet, Fireplace Pros, Overhead Door, Sanford Health, Dakota Bank, and Corey and the Fireflies.
It is a Wednesday edition of Calling All Sports with Mark Ovenden. I'm Mike Henriksen. Eric Thorstenson is in from Dakota News Now for Mark O, who's spending time with family. Thor, thanks for coming back today. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to be back, Mike. I saw some of Mark's photos. Looks like he's at a lake in Ohio somewhere
with his family. He's here.
Oh, here.
I was at a lake here.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was somewhere else.
The relatives all came here. So.
Well, I know his mom lives here. She's 97 years old.
Yeah.
Still lives on her own.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's why they came back, here. So, which is great. They're having a wonderful time. Hope your summer is going well as well. We've got a great show. Dave Vilhauer will join us from Aberdeen, second half of the show. And in the first half, one of our favorite guys, the head men's basketball coach at Dakota Wesleyan, Matt Wilbur, joins us. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. I understand you know Thor.
Yep, absolutely.
I just talked to him at a youth baseball tournament in Sioux Falls.
Yep, we crossed paths. Yeah. We crossed paths our teams didn't play against each other. Otherwise, we could have had maybe one of those epic parent meltdowns every other game between screaming and yelling at each other for the other one screaming at the umpire, for screaming at the kids, all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Right. I usually have to chew my seeds and go walk around the restroom a few times during the game.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Dave Vilhauer wrote a book about that very topic. So we'll talk to him in the second half hour about that and another new project. How much time are you spending at ball fields these days, man?
Quite a bit. I've been checking seasons off the box, or checking them off as we're going, with an 8-year-old season wrapped up here a week or two ago, and our 13-year-old just wrapped one up, and our 15-year-olds have a couple more weeks of their season left. So I think in total, my wife Lindsay, she had 96 total baseball games on the calendar for the Wilbers. So, So that a few of those got shifted because some of those were me still coaching third base for the Alexandria Halos, and I fractured my wrist, and so I've missed a couple of those games.
Are you still playing amateur baseball, or have you hung it up, Matt?
Playing is a very loose term, I would say. I still waddle around sometimes, like amateur baseball guys. Usually the story is like, hey, if you're kind of a backup, you get frustrated when the tournament time comes around and state tournament comes around and you're not in the lineup. That's kind of the amateur baseball story. I've kind of really grown on that role.
I'll
play the regular season games and you guys don't have enough. And then when the tournament time comes around, just I'll give signs down at third base and wave guys in on base hit. So I've got a pretty good role with those guys. But in truth, I still play because I've been a part of some really, really good dugouts and fun dudes. And it's fun to be around, and my kids love going to the game. So I still put a jersey on.
Here's the thing, Matt. First of all, though, how did you break your wrist?
Well, I'm going to keep that really short and sweet. I wish I could blame it on my age, like everybody thinks, God, you're getting too old to play. And I'm actually going to blame it on age because the kid playing first base forgot how many outs there were, and he threw me into a collision at second base where the shortstop knew there were two outs, and I knew there were two outs, and he ended up pee-kettling me, running in to catch the ball, and I put my hand up and fractured my wrist. So the golf game was the biggest concern, frankly, for the summer, is that that put a kibosh on that, and I don't want to tell my doctor honestly what I was doing while I was supposed to be doing nothing. So
did you give that guy a look like, know how many outs there are?
Oh my gosh, we played him later on in the year, and I stayed away from the game just because I probably would have went back to my young 20 days and not kept my mouth shut
drives me crazy sense when you watch the kids play, and I always you gotta know how many outs there are, guys, and you see so many times the third out is made and they're all still out in the field.
Right.
Like, it's over, guys. Come in.
I coached the youth stuff for enough years to have pretty much seen everything, so I know exactly what you're talking about. So I often say it's easier to coach college basketball than it is to coach anything at the fifth and sixth and seventh grade level, because you have to be a walking dictionary of every scenario. Hey, we don't know what that word means. Okay, let's talk about that.
You don't need to tag on a force. That's the other thing. You don't have to tag him there.
Right. Every rule's in play, every scenario. And obviously with baseball, there's a million different things that can happen. And it's tough because you just obviously don't have the time to cover it. So it's like, all right, guys, next time that happens, let's try to do this.
Matt Wilbur joins us, head men's basketball coach at Dakota Wesleyan. One of my great joys of coaching, though, Matt, is my daughter is now coaching my granddaughter, and my daughter is using a bunch of the same phrases. I always stress to my teams, be thinking what you're going to do if the ball comes to you, and what are you going to do if the ball doesn't come to you? And earlier this summer, I heard that coming out of Marin's mouth, and it just did my heart good.
Oh, that's great. That's great. When my kids talk, I panic that they're going to repeat what I say. Oh, good job, Ben and AJ. You've done well. You're not, you don't sound like your dad in that regard. So, like, you did well there. But, no, that's good stuff, Mike. You know, that's what it's all about, you know, and it's sometimes, it's the easiest path is to get caught up in all the stuff that doesn't matter with that age group and age level, and get wrapped up in everything, you know, that doesn't. And,
right.
And it's hard to stay focused on the, you know, the goals at hand. And that's not coming from an ivory tower. That's coming from somebody who's been in the mud with it, man. I'm always honored to get asked to go speak at some, like, you know, I'll get asked to speak at sports banquets or fall banquets or end of the year stuff, or speak to a basketball team or something. And I really like going to those and doing that. And it's crazy because in a vacuum, when you're talking about this stuff and you're not in the middle of a game, it all makes sense to us, right? Like,
right.
Of course I'm not going to act like an idiot in that scenario. And of course I wouldn't do that in that scenario. But God forbid your kid gets pulled in the middle of the inning, or the umpire screws up, or the coach does this, or their kid does that. Now all bets are off. And, you know, like, I often think I probably should have not coached kids. I should have opened up a parent consulting firm for youth sports.
It does.
I probably would have been a millionaire by this time. If, you know, like, putting people through real life situations. All right, I'm the umpire now. Let's go. Or I'm the coach. Billy, sit down and shut up. You know, like, okay, now tell me, how are you going to handle this? You know, what are you going to do?
It does. Mike and I were just talking before. Youth sports does bring out the worst in everybody at some point. It does.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does.
You feel stupid afterwards a lot of times. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Last night my son was playing, you know, I have Game Changer. You know, they have everyone's Game Changer now. You know, someone's in the dugout. And he was catching, and it was a throw home to the plate from 30, caught it, tagged the guy. The guy was under the tag, so he was safe. And on Game Changer, you know, one of the kids in the dugout's doing it. It's not a big deal. He put down Luke for an error. So I was sitting looking like, anyway, he's going to have an error on the stats.
Hey, we need
why
to get
is this driving
changed?
Me crazy?
You got it. You're like ready to speed dial the Elias Sports Bureau on that call as a parent. You're like, listen, this thing's going to hang over his head for the next 10 years if we don't get this thing wrapped up.
I went over and kind of said something to Dion. I'm sure, and Luke kind of looked at me almost like, oh, Dad, get out of here. And today I felt kind of dumb about it, yes.
I've been there. We've all been there, man. It's a crazy thing. But, you know, like, the serious nature of it and the serious side of it is, you know, from the coaching perspective, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. There is not a shortage of money. There's not a shortage of events. There's not a shortage of tournaments that kids could play in. There's not a shortage of players, but there's a shortage of coaches and refs to do all of it. And why is there a shortage of that? Well, the problem is it's not the kids, the adults. When there's a problem, it's adult related. And that's, you know, you could argue that it's not an all, you know, I hate to speak in to speak in always and nevers and all of that, but we're pretty close on that fact, on that side, where the I think the biggest struggle is that this generation of kids, and it every day they set a new record for it. They are the most overcoached, over-officiated, overplayed group of athletes, and so you're constantly in real competition with the scoreboard and officials. Well, it's going to bring out the worst in people. You know, like, you know, kids are playing more games than they ever have, so there's always winning and losing. It's not just kids playing, you know, like it's a pickup game or a baseball game where there's nothing at stake except your pride and the fun of it. There's an actual tournament or a game and a scoreboard where mom and dads are watching, and our kids are watched more than they've ever been, and free play is as limited as it's ever been. And I just, you know, it's, I'm not one of these old fuddy-duddies, oh, it was better back in my day type of guy.
Right.
But
right.
I am convinced that the idea of free play without adult supervision is still the best method of improvement and best method to learn how to play the sports and learn how to be a competitor and a teammate, because nobody's there settling it for you. Because all these issues our kids are having, a parent is stepping in, somebody's stepping in to take care of it. And I know in a lot of situations they have to, and I don't have a real solution for it, but I feel badly for some of these kids and athletes because they don't have the free play that a lot of people did.
Yep. Everything's structured. Everything it's seems to structured. Has to have a structure.
It's all structured. And in the business model, like all the adults operate in, that's the right way. But you're talking about human beings developing athletically and physically and emotionally. There's no strategic playbook or strategic manual that you can apply to that, because everybody's different. And I'm sorry to cut you off, Thor.
No, that's true. No, there was a picture that we had. We were, when I was in high school, it was like 1986, 87. We're playing 3-on-3 in a driveway.
Right.
And I wanted to post that. Nothing against Warwick workouts, but I want to say 1987 version of Warwick workouts didn't cost us a dime.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, Shane has a great program. A lot of kids, you know, thrive in that program. But there's just a lot of, that's what we did back then. We played in driveways. We went to the church gym and played pickup games, and that was it.
And now the other side of that coin too is this. The kids have never been as talented as they are at those ages.
True.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
You know,
true.
Like,
yep.
Just with our recruiting, you see what some of these kids are doing in 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, and what they look like physically and the advanced training that's available to them is just absolutely remarkable. It won't happen, and I can't stress this enough, because it's the same way in my program at the college level. It won't happen unless the kid is doing stuff on their own that is unprompted by somebody else. It's got to be internally motivated and internally driven that they love to play the sport and they love to do that, so they'll practice it on their own, especially when a ball is involved and skills are involved. There's not an amount of Tibbs workouts those kids could have done that would have made them good enough to be a high-level player. There's none of that is there. There's not enough weight training they can do. It's all about the hours. And I know people have written books on this, so I'm just a dumb, you know, just a dumb basketball coach spouting out what I've seen over time. You know, like, it's got to be that. So are we fostering the environment so when we're done with them at the youth level, once they get to a level where they're mature enough to understand the practice and the development and the necessity of that, that they're willing to do that on their own and they're not, you know what? I've had enough.
Right.
I'm good. You know, and that's kind of what you're seeing when you see kids give it up and that stuff. So I don't know if this is where we wanted to go with this conversation, but I don't know if this is what you were looking for, Mike. But
listen, Matt, every time I have you on, I have no idea where the conversation is going to go. And that's one of the reasons that I have you on. That's one of the reasons you're one of my favorite guys. I want to go back to something else you said, though. You were talking about still playing because of the dugout. I'll tell you another story about my kids. JD, after his Legion season, got picked up by PBR, you know, for a state tournament. And JD didn't go on and play any baseball. He took a different path in the summers. But he says that he learned more baseball in those four games that he was in the dugout with PBR than he had known his entire life. And that's a thing that people forget. Those dugouts are special places to be.
Yeah, you know, now he also was getting to choose from a pretty good dugout, right?
Oh, yeah, like, no question.
You know, that's a lot of fun, too, with, you know, as an older guy. You know, I wish I could go back and play it again and not scream and yell at Fran Rusink all the time or Mark Strunk like I did. Now I kind of chuckle at our 20-year-old, you know, guys that are playing, because it's obviously a young man's game. But to be able to talk to guys and just be like, hey, I've been through this situation. You see this play out and you do all that. And like I said, the dugouts I've been a part of with the Del Rapids Mudcats and the Renner Monarchs, and now the Alexandria Angels, are just littered with guys that love to play baseball, make sacrifices to do it. And then, you know, having fun and being competitive are the number one, the number ones in that world. But I wouldn't keep doing it if every time I went and played a game, I've got multiple kids asking if they can go with me, you know, and that's after
right. mm-hmm.
their practices. They're like, hey, can we go with? And they love to go play, and they're smart baseball, you know, they're smart baseball players because of it. So, they get to watch and they see all that stuff. And I have to tell them like, hey, you know what you heard there? Don't ever repeat that. You guys don't say that, right? You know, like, you're better than me. You're better than me. You know, you're better than you guys. I see it in you. You're better than me. You know, but it's I'll always say it. We have a really unique opportunity in South Dakota that is so small townish, that kids have that opportunity to do that.
Yep.
And learn and to be a part of stuff like that across a lot of sports, not just baseball.
Matt Wilbur joins us here. Matt, we probably better talk a little college basketball today.
Yeah, sounds good.
We've only got a few minutes left.
Get to the boring stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Get to the boring stuff.
How's the summer going, and how refreshing is it to have a summer program again?
Well, it's really good, because obviously we didn't do anything last year and last summer, and everybody was on the same boat, and we came in cold. But we've always had a pretty committed group. To being so local, first of all, and then having guys that will live in Mitchell, you know, through the summer, to be able to lift and play. And obviously the rules and regulations for our level at the NEIA allow us to have contact with them where other levels don't, right? You know, the coaches at the D2 and the D3 levels, they're not allowed to work with their guys on the court. So we're able to do that. And we do it in moderation, where we're not wearing them out, because I literally could practice pretty much unlimited time with our guys. And listen, I've only got so many bullets in the chamber, you know, when it gets down to some of that. So I want the summer to be developmental, enjoyable. And so our message in the spring and the summer has completely been, hey, let's recharge this. Let's get recharged. So we're doing this the right way and doing it for the right reasons. And you guys are feeling productive when they come in and out. And I think we're doing that. We're going to wrap it up at the end of July, but it's been good to see our guys, and it's good to have our guys want to be a part of that and do that.
You always seem to recruit a lot of local kids. I look up and down your roster, and you really get some of the best kids from this region. A lot of kids out in that Mitchell region too.
Yeah. You know, we've been lucky, you know, and this isn't obviously a Matt Wilbur at Dakota Wesleyan deal. This is something, you know, there's been 100 years of basketball at Dakota Wesleyan, and every coach has done it that way. And it's been a really successful model for DWU. And that's not to take away from the Nick Hardens, you know, that we've had here, and the transfers, the Lloyd Piggies, and the Curtis Brumsies, you know, the guys at Dakota Wesleyan who came from out of state. But the bulk of our rosters have been local South Dakota kids and frankly, a lot of Class A and Class B kids.
Yep.
That have filled the record books here. And it's just been a really good deal from the umbrella vision of it, from our community to playing in the Corn Palace, to the school, just to the location of where Mitchell's at and how close in proximity we are to the rest of the state. And to the rest of these kids. And so, obviously I don't want to lose with local kids, you know, so like, I'm interested in winning basketball games just like anybody else is, but we've just had a lot of really good kids, say yes and continue to keep that door open from, oh, Ty Hoagland went there? Well, I can go there. Sawyer Schultz, you know, who was a high-level recruit, you know, comes here. And you hope that that, you know, that model continues. And we've got a lot of those stories to tell our recruits and our kids that, hey, I know on paper this looks like a level deal, but it isn't at all. Like, once our guys get here, they don't care that, that where they're at. This is their Duke and their Kentucky and their Kansas, and we treat it as such and want to give them that experience. And our community and the Corn Palace on our level really does a great job of that. And it's a big reason why kids come here, is playing in front of people and playing in meaningful games all year long.
Matt, it is always a pleasure. Continued success. I did get a chance to see Lindsey briefly at a ballpark, not surprisingly. We always appreciate the time and the candor and the insight and everything, and a couple of stories while we're at it. You take care, and we'll talk again soon, all right?
Yeah, well, appreciate it, guys. Always appreciate you having me on, and you guys do a great job. I love how local you guys are with everything, and it's relatable to what we've all got going. So I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Thanks, Matt.
Yep. Spend more moments in the moment, not in pain, with orthopedics and sports medicine care from Sanford Health. Our team is here to help you overcome joint issues, athletic injuries, and anything else holding you back. Experience care available when you need it. Treatment options that go beyond the expected, and a plan that is made just for you. So together, we can find your way forward. Learn more at sanfordhealth.org.
No one has a handbook for what we're living through today, which is why the experience you have access to makes all the difference in how you make it to tomorrow. For decades, Dakota Bank has worked with ag producers through industry, economic, and regional changes. We're committed to agriculture. We're committed to the producers and families that make our communities great. Go with commitment, experience, and integrity. Dakota Bank, banking, insurance, mortgage, and trust. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Insurance and trust not FDIC insured.
Penny Kleindienst is an interior designer. So when Eric and Becky Roskop hired Simply Perfect to update their dream home, she knew where to turn. The experts at Fireplace Pros have a wide variety of heat and glow and heat-o-later fireplaces to choose from. And they hit a home run with a contemporary fireplace they chose together.
They always help me come up with the perfect fireplace that makes all the difference in the way a home looks and feels.
Our gas fireplaces and inserts from Heat & Glow and Heat-O-Later are the best in the business. You can stop in and see the region's largest showroom or visit us on the web at fireplaceprofessionals.com and get a virtual tour. We have almost 100 Heat & Glow and Heat-O-Later models on display and even more in stock. If you ever need advice, just call 339-0775, or better yet, stop in and see us. We're Fireplace Pros, 1217 West 41st Street, Sioux Falls. Just like Becky and Eric, you're going to love the way your home feels.
Sometimes life can punch you pretty hard. So when you finally get to crawl into your bed, you want, no, you need to sleep. Comfort King Mattress Factory will float you into deep, meaningful sleep. The kind of sleep that heals. No pressure on your organs, joints, or spine. And we do that with a mattress that no one else on earth can offer you. The material we use is called Float. It came out of a joint research project with NDSU Engineering Department. Float is an anti-gravity gel that reduces pressure points. The thing that makes it so amazing is it allows more airflow than any mattress material ever invented. And the spiral motion provides support as the load increases. And it is now available exclusively at Comfort King Mattress Factory. Come feel the difference that Float provides. This changes everything. Comfort King Mattress Factory, the exclusive source for Float anti-gravity gel.
Welcome back to Calling All Sports. Today's show is brought to you by Midco Sportsnet, Fireplace Pros, Overhead Door, Dakota Bank, and Corey and the Fireflies.
Thor is in from Dakota News Now, and for Mark, who's taken a few days. Mark will probably be hitting the golf course because that's who Mark is, but you should join us. Thor, Dakota News Now should get a team put together for summer skip day.
We should. You know, we used to do more of that. It's been a while to get a
grab Hunty and He'd probably ramrod the deal.
It's been such nice warm weather. How have these tournaments been so far? Have you had?
They've been great. This will be our fourth.
Okay.
And they've been record setting. Mm-hmm. Like everything in the golf business anymore.
Yeah.
But like for summer skip day, it's Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. You could even do your job because it's tea time.
I'm dying. Kick out of there.
Exactly.
10 now, 11.
And it's tea time, so you could get a 1 o'clock. It's only $50 to play the Madison Country Club. 18 holes, your cart. We feed you. Mm-hmm. We give you prizes.
You got some good pin prizes?
We've got some great pin prizes, including a car. Everybody leaves with something because all of our sponsors pony up and help out.
Is that the hole? You have a hole in one hole for a car, one of those. Yeah.
We do. Yeah. It's
pretty
cool
deal. You ever played one of those hole in one, like for $1 million or anything like that?
I have. Yeah. Yeah. And it was typically nowhere close. Just like in real life.
My worst shots ever.
Exactly. Just like real life. We're back with Dave Vilhauer after this.
Location is a common emphasis for people buying.